Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. Welcome to The Stage, the official performing arts podcast of the NFHS. Lights, camera, action. Hello, I'm glad you tuned into The Stage. This is episode 7 and we have made it to 2020, a new decade. Hope your holidays were great and that you're having a happy new year. I'm happy you joined us. I'm your host, Kyle Mills, and we have a great show coming up. We had a special guest join us for a two-parter this holiday season. Dan Schuster, if you remember episode 6, the director of NFHS Learn. Last episode, you heard us talk about NFHS Learn, their mission, and how performing arts courses started being developed. Today, we're diving even deeper into that with the national music credential tiers that were implemented this previous fall, and then what's on the horizon for NFHS Learn. Dan Schuster, chock full of great information. You don't want to miss the second part of this interview. I know a lot of you have tuned in to this podcast to hear about the 2020-2021 National High School Policy Debate topic. Well, the topic ballots are in and all tabulated. 33 states, 4 national organizations voted. Criminal justice reform received 7 more votes than climate change. So congratulations to criminal justice reform and topic author Colton Gilbert. This will now be the 2020-2021 National High School Debate topic. Thanks again to all of the state associations and speech and debate organizations that participated in this important selection process. Check out our website for in-depth coverage on criminal justice reform and everything about the topic. We're already hard at work producing the next policy debate quarterly, formerly the Forensic Quarterly, on criminal justice reform. Congratulations again to criminal justice reform, the 2020-2021 National High School Policy Debate topic. Okay, here he is, Dan Schuster. Moving into the National Music Credentialing Program, Tier 1, Tier 2, this is something brand new that we just rolled out a couple months ago. Can you talk to our audience about what the National Music Credentialing Program is?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Kyle, we launched this program back in September for the Performing Arts Conference. And this really, you know, we want to be very consistent with our education. And so we wanted to do the same thing that we began to do for coaches back in 2009, which is really just, you know, supply these pathways of professional development. And so with the level one music credential, you know, there's some required courses. So copyright, understanding copyright and compliance, protecting students from abuse, those make a lot of sense to be the two required courses. And then we give you a couple selections where you can complete basically a couple of courses that are, you know, more directed to your expertise or some areas that you want to focus on: band safety, interscholastic music event management, introduction to interscholastic music, and then music adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so that allows you to kind of focus on an area that maybe works best for you. And then we want you to complete an additional health and safety course, so concussion in sports, heat illness prevention, sudden cardiac arrest. But it really is consistent with our coach platform. And so we want to eventually create these pathways for all members of the interscholastic community. And so this is, again, really just a continuation of us really walking the walk when it comes to being an inclusive platform for everyone. And so we really want to go down this road for students. We want to go down this road for parents to be able to go on.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that we provide education that allows individuals to understand their role and how they can be better parents, better students, better coaches, officials. And it really is, it's the little things that make a difference. And so if I know my role as a coach and I know my role as an official and I know my role as a as a participating student, things fall into place. And it really is more of a beneficial and positive environment and experience for everyone involved.
And so how will it benefit specifically music educators when they're like, hey, I have so much on my plate, there's no way, you know, this doesn't matter. What would you say to those people that maybe come off like that?
Yeah, I think you know what I hear from, you know, more regular than you might think is, you know, well, I got this degree or this certificate, you know, and it might be 10, 20 years ago, and this idea of, you know, I'm good, you know, yeah. I'm set as far as, you know, I have this degree or these credentials. And the reality is that we all have to be, particularly in this interscholastic education space, we have to be believers in ongoing professional development. We have to promote ongoing learning. And so if we are going to expect our students to get better every day, and we all have been there where we say, hey, we got to work on this, we got to work on that, at practice, at rehearsals, whatever it is, we all have said that to a student, say, yeah, these are the things that we have to work on. Well, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, there are things that I can get better, that we can get better.
Yeah.
That's what the Learning Center is all about. It is about each and every one of us getting better. So are you going to take all 72 courses this year? And no, you're not. That's not what it's about. We have 72 courses that are going to work for all different walks within the interscholastic community, and you can come back and you can take something. We hope you take something every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we know many listeners, they're probably required to take concussion every year, every other year, whatever it is. But there's a difference in being required to do something and then knowing that, you know what, this is making me better. So yes, I have to come here to take concussion, but I want to come here to take band safety.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come here to take music adjudication or whatever it is, any of our 72 courses.
And this gives people, music educators and adjudicators, kind of an incentive to look at the level one and the level two and say, hey, maybe I've already taken two or three of these courses. If I take one or two more, I'll be at level one. And then if I take another one or two on top of that, I'll be at a level two. And people that have already taken the courses the previous year, it rolls over, correct?
Correct. So many listeners have already taken several of these, as you mentioned. And so whether or not it was something that you planned on being a part of, yeah, right within your dashboard, you can go check what your progress is of your level one or level two credential. And so we want this to be turnkey. We know that there are a lot of required pieces within these professional development pathways, within these credentials. That was all part of it. That was really the plan, is that your concussion course goes toward your level one. And so it was really just an opportunity to say that, look, here's some areas that we really think are important. And so, you know, obviously we don't have to talk about the importance of copyright right now, but you know, that was really a big deal for the Learning Center as well, is that, you know, it's something that all of our schools are dealing with, and maybe some of them aren't dealing with it yet, but there are many out there that we want them to be prepared for when it is that that, you know, someone's knocking on their door asking if they're copyright compliant.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to, again, a free resource, but you know, and that one was a really great opportunity for our staff to kind of do something different, and we really kind of got into different tracks to where we have one course and it's a little bit different for each you know, constituent. So administrators have a little bit different track than those within theater or speech and debate or music. Obviously, music is a really thorough, it's a deep dive into copyright. Well, that's because it affects them the most and they need to know the most about it. So I encourage you to, you know, to go take that and take the track that best fits you, because each track is specifically designed for you in your position. So, but that course, along with protecting students from abuse, we all need to go through protecting students from abuse. If you've not taken it, you know, it's only about 25 minutes in length. We worked with, you know, the experts on this, the United States Center for Safe Sport. It's really important. And we all want to, again, we all want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And sometimes you have to know what some of the problems are. And we really do need to understand that they're, you know, and be able to talk about and stand up for against abuse. And so there's different kinds. So we really stick with our basic formula that's been successful. And there's different ways to recognize signs and symptoms of, you know, students that might be suffering from abuse or different kinds of abuse, just like signs and symptoms of concussion or heat illness or sudden cardiac arrest. So those are just a couple pieces that, you know, we really think are important for all members of, you know, that are a part of this music credential. We want to make sure that they have those pieces.
And it's definitely a well-rounded education, like you talked about, everything ranging from heat illness prevention all the way to, hey, here's how you run a music event. Here's how you adjudicate. Here's about band safety. So that's a really great, well-rounded education. The level one is basically comes out to 5 courses. Level 2 is 8 courses. So those 5 plus you build on it a little bit. I would encourage everyone to go check out the National Music Credentialing Program. Again, level 1 and level 2. This was implemented a couple months ago. The NFHS Learning Center did a great job of putting it all together. And like Dan has talked about, since 2014, 2015, really there was a call for more performing arts related courses. And this is kind of the outcome of that. And of course, the performing arts content is not going to stop coming. As Dr. Weaver is in office and has continued to just transform the performing arts department into so many other things with the NFHS Learning Center. It's a great partnership. But Dan, do you know any performing arts content? What's on the horizon? How do you and Dr. Weaver talk to decide the next courses? How does that relationship work?
Well, you know, part of my role, you know, at the NFHS is really helping all the directors and really working with them to create priorities within what's really important within each department. And so, you know, we've really tried to walk the walk when it comes to involving our performing arts activities. And so I think that we're really starting to work on getting additional speech and debate courses, additional theater courses, because we've really done a really good job of filling out our music section, you know, our music courses.
And so, as evidenced by the National Credentialing Program.
Absolutely. And so the you know, not to get off on a tangent, but the reality is the work is never done. There's no such thing as a check mark within this platform. And so it's an ongoing effort, just like the education that we're promoting. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, we're constantly trying to get better. And so I think that you're going to continue to see us build out coursework in both theater and speech and debate. And so I think that the priorities are really determined at that department level. And but the thing that what has really made us successful at the NFHS with the Learning Center is really listening to our membership. And so we're going to continue to listen to them and, again, create this holistic approach to learning to where we're going to cover all these different areas, and we're going to do it in as thorough and also be, you know, have them be, you know, beneficial and be valuable. And, you know, a lot of it is just so fundamental in nature. And that's why people, when they see it and when they hear it, it's like, well, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Of course, that's how it should be done. Or that's, of course, how I should handle it. That's a lot of, that's what a lot of fundamental information sounds like. It makes a lot of sense. Well, yeah, that's exactly how I should be doing that. So, you know, as far as, you know, next priorities here, you know, school, you know, theater safety, you know, speech and debate, again, just building out our current speech and debate courses. I think those are, you're going to see those down the road. And, you know, we want to get to a place to where we have these credentials for both speech and debate coaches as well as our folks within theater programs.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So is there a national credentialing on the horizon for speech, debate, and theater? And the answer is yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, we take this seriously in the sense of we don't want to create a credential for, you know, a couple courses. We do want to make sure that we create that well-rounded experience for that speech and debate coach before we create that credential. So once the content is there and ready and we feel like this is really a nice credential for those coaches to have, that's when we'll unveil it. And but you're going to see consistencies within the Learning Center that when we have the content, that's when we'll roll out a credential, and that's when we'll roll out this ongoing pathway for professional development.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great segue into professional development. Obviously, we want people to go on there and take the courses themselves, but it sometimes carries a little extra weight for people when they can get a learning credit, a professional development credit, whatever different states or different school districts call it. Can all the courses be used for this? How should people that want credits go about getting them after they complete these courses?
Well, I would certainly encourage anyone who completes a course on the Learning Center to look into if your school or a local college or university will accept those as whether it's, again, CEUs or if you can get them used as for college credit. So every certificate, every completion certificate has a number of clock hours that the NFHS endorses, if you will. And so every local district is going to handle those a little bit differently. But if there is ever anything that from a documentation standpoint, certainly contact our office and we're happy to provide a clock hours sheet that actually is on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But it outlines all of the clock hours, and essentially what that is the average amount of time that it's taking users to go through a course.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of colleges and universities and local schools that are taking those and will give CEUs for those, or will take credits or put them toward professional development hours. So we certainly hope that that is serving a purpose, and we hope that some of our teacher coaches, members within the performing arts community can use those even for some of their requirements as ongoing professional development as a teacher.
Yeah. And you mentioned if you maybe take a course, and this is a couple years ago, and you get some CEUs from it, that go back and check the courses, because the Learning Center specifically, they update courses. They do revisions to courses. Music adjudication was just revised a couple months ago. Copyright, understanding copyright and compliance, there's 5 tracks to that. And there was, before that, there was 1 or 2, and there was several added to it in the performing arts, the performing arts realm. And then the music track was updated too. So if you're listening to this podcast and you took some of these courses 2 years ago, they've changed, they've updated. There's new information and new resources available.
Yeah. And, you know, the project is never over. The projects are never over. It's one of those things that we can't have it be a check mark. So I think that it is something that's ever changing. It is something that that we want to make sure is, whether it's a health and safety course and, You know, if the science changes, we need to change. If there are some best practices that within, you know, within band safety that we need to update, that's something that we take very seriously. And so, you know, I think that back to, you know, sort of this ongoing learning. With that being said, you know, you can access certificates and course completions from all the way back from when we first started doing this in 2007. Now, I know most of our listeners maybe didn't start visiting the Learning Center maybe until 2012, 2013, maybe some of you back in 2010 when we first launched the concussion course, because that's really when I think it became a little bit more than truly became more than just a coach platform. But all of your completion certificates are located within your dashboard section. And so, and really if there are some of you that go into your account and you don't see some of those courses that you had from 2007 or, you know, completed courses from 2010, just as a kind of a public service announcement, it may be that you actually have a couple accounts with us. So maybe you were at a different school or maybe you had a different role. You know, so just as an FYI, go check that out, but make sure that you always keep those certificates. So sometimes I just kind of print them off and keep them, even though that's a little old school. Know that we are keeping track of those. We want to keep those records for you in case something were to happen on your end. So that's one thing that the NFHS Learning Center does do is we're not going to get rid of your completion certificates because you never know when you might need to have that proof of completion.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess just piggybacking off of that, you know, one of the greatest tools that the NFHS Learning Center provides is our user lookup feature. So, you know, you might say, well, man, did I have a couple accounts? You can actually go to the user lookup and you can search your name and you can see what courses you've completed. And that goes all the way back to the very beginning of the NFHS Learning Center. And so you might see that they're, wow, yes, I do have a couple different accounts. I've got to get back in there and figure that out.
Yeah.
So if you ever have any questions, you know, there's a help tab within the Learning Center menu. Call our help desk. They're happy to help you via email, via telephone. So they're serving nearly 80 hours a week. So we want to help. We want to be a part of your professional development experience. And again, that's just another tool that you can use, whether it's checking your own completions or whether it's checking completions of others within your school.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, how do you guys measure the success of a course? Obviously, your passion is evident. Your want to empower everyone and educate everyone in the interscholastic community. But how do you specifically measure the success of a course?
So, I think that certainly success can be looked at differently. It's subjective. I will tell you that if we're doing a course that we think 1,000 people are going to see or something that 10 million people are going to see, I can assure you that we're going to put the same amount of effort and the same amount of quality into those projects. And so that's something that, you know, we're very lucky here to have a great team that develops all of this, all of these courses, and all the video editing and work is all done here in-house. And I think that when users go through it, you know, I don't think that you can always pinpoint, you know, that, well, they're doing this and this and this really well. But I think that there's just something about the experience that it just looks clean, it looks crisp, it looks professional. And that's really what we're going for, is that, you know, you're really not thinking about the delivery method. You're not thinking about it. You're thinking about the professional development. You're worrying about, you know, the content within the course. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when something's maybe a little fuzzy or when something maybe just isn't working quite right, and we know there's going to be times that things maybe don't work correctly, whether it's something that happens within our school network or something at home or with our laptop. And that's what our help desk is there for, is to help you through that. But, you know, it's very important to us, because no matter what course it is from our library of 72 courses, we don't know which one's going to be your first experience. And we take that very seriously. And we want to make sure that you come back, mm-hmm. whether it's a paid course or a free course. We want you to think, you know what, I got some value out of that. I got something from that.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is we don't know what you're going to take from any one of our courses. And so we better make sure that every part of that looks the best it can, that we put as much time as we need to until we say, you know what, it's just right. Here we go. And so I think success, what does it look like? It looks consistent and it looks professional, and it's something that we can put in front of any group and say, we're proud of this product and we want you to be proud of it. We want you to be, you know, so happy with it that you're going to tell somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no doubt about it that, you know, we're about to deliver our 10 millionth course here coming up. And, you know, that's a really big number.
Mm-hmm.
But to some, you know, it's an arbitrary number, you know, in a lot of ways. And some courses have contributed to that greater than others, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that any one of those courses is any less successful than the other. You know, nearly half of those are concussion courses.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's brought a great value to the interscholastic community and schools across the country. But I'll tell you, a lot of these music courses that we're really just starting to, you know, get our roots and really start to grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes time. So we didn't start delivering hundreds of thousands of courses overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in our very first year, we did about 15,000 courses on the platform. Now we're doing about 2 million per calendar year. So I think that, you know, again, it kind of changes and matures of what you call success. But we really would find success in saying, you know what, no matter which course I took, I want to come back, or I'm willing to refer someone else to come take an NFHS Learn course.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth to conclude the podcast. I was going to say congratulations on 10 million courses, rolling into 2020 with 10 million courses delivered. That is amazing. Congratulations. And in conclusion, what does that mean to you? You talked a little bit about that, but when you hear the number 10 million, that's a lot of people that are being positively influenced and impacted yeah. by your product.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think that, you know, when you think about it, you know, it's not 10 million page views of a website. You know, it's really a lot deeper than that. And I think about, you know, we all hear things about this many million that, or this many million this. You know, it's when you're talking about 10 million courses delivered, you're talking
of educational content.
Yeah, I think it's more, it's obviously professional development, but you're talking about individuals spending, you know, no less than 15 minutes per course, you know, 10 million times.
Yeah.
And wow. So I think that is where, you know, when you just hear 10 million courses, it's like, okay, that's a number. It's certainly, as biased as I am, it's certainly more than a number. And it just, the amount of time that not only the NFHS and, you know, the staff have put into it, that's one thing, but that's what we're here to do. It's the amount of time and effort that others have put into the program, whether it be promoting the program, participating in the program. That's where, you know, we'll probably never really know the true impact of those courses, of those 10 million courses.
Yeah. Of the scope or the reach.
We don't know how many, situations we've maybe helped from, whether it be a first aid issue. Maybe we helped, really kind of create a situation where we were able to get some help there, and not only get help there, but that this coach or that parent or that student knew what to do to help the situation from becoming a dangerous one. Whether it was getting that, the kid, when in doubt, sit him out regarding concussion. We don't know how many of those situations that we positively impacted. And so, it means a lot. I do truly believe, though, that 10 million can be just the beginning. So not only should it be just the beginning, but there are so many people out there that have not heard of the NFHS Learning Center. So yeah. As much as I would like to think that, of course people know about the NFHS Learning Center, there's a lot that don't. And there's a lot of people out there that would like to be a part of it. And so I challenge all of you that have been a part of it, tell somebody that, you did get some value out of it. I sort of am humbled by that each and every day when we see things on social media about, I wasn't real excited about, having to take this course, or, someone told me it's a good idea, but you know what? It really helped me. It really brought me some value. And so back to success, that's where we really find, how we define success, is that someone does find value in it and are willing to go back, willing to tell someone else to go to the NFHS Learning Center. So we truly hope that 10 million is just another starting point, and we can start getting to a point where, we reach as many people as we can within the interscholastic community, because we always have a new group. We always have a new group coming in. So there's always a new group of students. There's always a new group of parents. And so they need help and guidance. And we want to be there for them. We want to be a resource. And again, that professional development platform that they can count on and trust.
Dan, this is where I usually pitch whoever I'm talking to. Take it away, 30 seconds. Where can people go to find the Learning Center? How can people follow you on social media? Your social media is all about education, about the interscholastic community. Where can people go?
So it's real simple. Go to nfhslearn.com. And I would tell you to follow the NFHS social media channels. I am also on Twitter as NFHS Dan Schuster. As Kyle said, I do primarily post things about the Learning Center, and look, real soon we're coming out with some new videos to help you with some of your parent meetings. So Beyond the Scoreboard is something that actually we're just now making available. So first reveal of that right here on the stage.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kyle.
Just want to say thank you to Dan Schuster again and reiterate something that we talked about at the very end of the podcast interview. Did you know that the NFHS Learning Center offers CEUs and professional development credits through the courses available? Check with your school district or local organization to see if CEUs from NFHS Learn are accepted. Go to nfhslearn.com, take a course, get some CEUs or professional development credits, and further your professional development today. I know this is mentioned in the interview, but congratulations again to the NFHS Learning Center on delivering its 10 millionth course. That's a lot of courses. This is something we have been very excited about, but it's been hard to keep under wraps. But now it's public. We are excited about announcing it from the rooftops. Go to nfhslearn.com and see what they have to offer to fit your needs. Congratulations again, NFHS Learn. 10 million courses delivered. That's the show. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Stage, the official performing arts podcast of the NFHS.